You can hear a replay of the following show plus more previews and breakdowns at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Welcome to Inside the Numbers. I'm your host, Boji Wood, and for the next 60 minutes, I, along with my guests, will take a look at some of this week's bowl games as well as some of the top NFL games. It's going to be a busy show. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Inside the Numbers.
You're listening to Inside the Numbers with Boji Wood. Catch a replay of this show at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Hear interviews with coaches as well as current and former players, plus previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games. It's all at GameDaySportsRadio.com. That's GameDaySportsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Numbers. Usually this segment is a little later in the show, but this week, we're going to begin with the Weber Mortgage Spotlight Game Preview. This week's game is the Birmingham Bowl, which kicks off in just a few hours over at Birmingham's Legion Field. This game pits a couple of high-powered offenses from the Big 12 and the American Athletic Conference. Texas Tech, they're averaging 34 points per game. South Florida is throwing up 38. The Bulls return to Birmingham for the second straight year. They got by South Carolina last year after Willie Taggart accepted the Oregon job. T.J. Weiss, who is still the Bulls' OC, he stepped in as interim coach and led them to that 46-39 victory over the Gamecocks. Mike Bernard, all in all, this should be a very entertaining game.
It should, Coach. Both teams go at a really fast pace, and both teams have great skill players. South Florida quarterback Quentin Flowers, he's accounted for 31 touchdowns. 10 of those were rushing. Flowers holds the school record for with 11,385 career yards of offense. He leads the Bulls in rushing and passing this year.
He's just a great athlete, and he's been a starter from the time he stepped on campus there in Tampa. New head coach Charlie Strong, he's a defensive coach, but he lets that offense go up-tempo, and it's paid off. The South Florida defense, they gave up 32 a game last year. This year, they're only giving up 23. Credit that improvement to Charlie Strong. Texas Tech, they come in at 6-6, had to rally to beat Texas for their sixth win. Tech quarterback Nick Sheminick started the first 11 games. Kingsbury didn't start him in the Texas game, but when Tech was down 10 in the fourth quarter, Sheminick came in from the bench, and he led the Red Raiders on two touchdown drives to get that win.
Right, he did. He was benched for that final game, and it's not easy to sit on the bench for three quarters and then come in and play as sharp as he did. Really nice job by Sheminick. The Tech defense, they ranked 99th in yards allowed, but in that Texas game, they played a big role in the comeback. They forced four turnovers in that game. Red Raider defense played much better down the stretch. They held their final three opponents under 30 points.
Yeah, the Texas Tech defense did look better in their last three outings. Defensive coordinator David Gibbs, he just signed a contract extension this week. So the administration and Kingsbury must be pleased with the direction of the defense to make that type of commitment to him. Offensive numbers, they aren't a problem for Tech. They haven't been in a long time. And if this defense can start playing at an elite level and the offense continues to produce, Texas Tech, they can begin to make some noise on the national level in seasons to come. Let's go ahead and bring in the president of Weber Mortgage, Michael Weber. Michael, it's always good to have you on with us.
Merry Christmas, boys. Happy to be with you as always. And we're just a couple of days, it seems, away from the big day and a big celebration. And the Christmas holiday is always a special time to me and what it means. And I know we get lost sometimes in the celebration of the gifts and college football all day. But I hope everybody will take a minute to reflect on what we really celebrate at Christmas time. So anyhow, Birmingham Bowl is going to be exciting. You know, it's interesting to see a city like Birmingham is always talking about the impact something like a bowl game will have. And I was driving down the interstate the other day and saw a digital billboard with a Texas Tech advertisement on it. So the impact is more than just a few hotel rooms and meals in restaurants. So this is a big deal for Birmingham. They're obviously, if you guys don't know, the city has been talking about for several years now, and Mike Bernard knows this, what to do as far as facilities are concerned. Are they going to work on Legion Field? Are they going to try to build a dome? You know, and all this kind of stuff gets revved up about this time of year when we start looking at a bowl matchup. So this is a pretty cool game. You got two teams that are going to move the ball, and that's always exciting football to watch. And it's important to have two high-powered teams when you're traveling to a place like Birmingham and you want to draw. So you got, obviously, Texas Tech, a Power 5 school from the Big 12, and then South Florida. South Florida's on the verge of accomplishing something to be a first for them. If they can win this game, and they'd have 10 wins this year, they'd have back-to-back wins, back-to-back seasons with 10 or more wins. So they certainly have something to play for in this game, and it should be a fun game to watch.
Totally agree with you, Michael. Being a former defensive guy, I look forward to this game, and a lot of people are going to say, well, Charlie Strong defense versus Cliff Kingsbury offense. That's an obvious storyline, but to me, the bigger question is David Gibbs and this Red Raider defense, can they slow down Quentin Flowers? Michael, that's a huge question for me.
It really is. You know, South Florida was only a play away from beating Central Florida and winning the American Conference. So, they got their hands full. I mean, you've got two teams that offensively can, for the most part, do what they want when they want with the football. And defensively, it's going to be a challenge on both sides of that ball to slow those teams down. At the pace they move, it just gets more and more difficult to be on top of that and to impose your defensive will on an offense that tends to spread things out and make you work twice as hard, it seems.
Michael, speaking of pace and everything, as we close down the year, a lot of people are rushing to get those mortgages done and everything right now, and there's still time for you to work with people here in 2017 to get those mortgages accomplished, right?
Yeah. In fact, Boji, this past week we saw the Fed raised the Fed funds rate 0.25%, and that does not translate into a direct increase in interest rates. They are not, when you hear the Fed has raised interest rates, they have not raised the mortgage rates, but it is a key indicator of what's going to happen with interest rates. So we certainly expect in 2018 to see residential mortgage interest rates trending upward. If there are people out there who've been dragging their feet, I'm telling you, it's going to cost you, you know, thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars, if you decide to do something late next year instead of doing it late this year or early next year. So it's never too late to get the ball rolling and get started in the process. And as all the listeners know, we can help you with that anywhere across the country. We lend in the state of Alabama, but we have a network of lenders that can help you, very respectable companies that do just as good a job as we do all across this wonderful country of ours.
And it's all about that personalized service, and that's what you guys do there at Weber Mortgage, and you've got a network, as you said, across the country that's going to give the same type service. And anyone that's listening to any one of our affiliates, they can contact you, and you can put them in contact with someone in their area. Of course, you can go to GameDaySportsRadio.com. You can follow the Weber Mortgage link right to your site. But go ahead and tell the folks how they can reach you via telephone, Michael.
It's really easy, Boji. All they do is pick up the phone and call us at area code 205-823-6701. And they can also, like you said, go through the web and go to WeberMortgage.com or go through the link on Game Day Sports Radio.
Okay, Michael, being there in Birmingham, of course, you're a college football fan. I don't know how much you know about South Florida and Texas Tech as far as their matchup goes, but who do you think wins this one?
Well, I think Mike Bernard is going to probably give you a better idea of what to expect there than I am. But I can tell you that it's weird Texas Tech, as big a name as they are, probably being an underdog at the time everybody's listening to this. And South Florida being a favorite, that just sounds strange when you talk about reputation and what the average football fan would know of those two teams coming in to a game like this. I like South Florida. I think they've had a fantastic season, and I don't see any reason that they would fall short in this bowl game, even against such a high-powered Texas Tech offense.
Mike Bernard, can you argue with Mr. Weber on that one?
Now, Michael picked, he thinks that South Florida is going to win, correct?
Correct.
Well, they're a small favorite. They're the non-Power Five. And if you, and look, guys, remember, when you watch an American Conference game, you look at the yard markers. It says P6, you know, and for it referring to, hey, we're a Power Six. We belong. South Florida is for real. I don't know the motivational factor here. I do know we have to watch the weather from a handicapping standpoint because there's a good chance of rain. We'll see how that pans out. But South Florida is one of several teams from the American Conference that can play with Power Five schools on any given day. And look, here's some other things, just fun things to watch for the fans, our listeners out there. I mentioned that quarterback Flowers has the school record for career yards. Three other records are within reach for him in this game. He needs just 47 yards to become the conference leader all time, only 44 rush yards to become the all-time career rush leader, and he only needs one passing touchdown to hold the school record in touchdown passes. So he's a great player. He's had an outstanding career. One handicapping trend that stands out in this game, and it kind of lends to what I'm thinking and what Michael Weber's thinking, Texas Tech, they're only 2-7 against the spread their last 9 bowl games.
Tech may have struggled recently in bowl games against the spread, as you say, but straight up, they're 10-3 in bowl games since 2002. I think an interesting side note in this game is that both teams have bowl history in Birmingham. Of course, we mentioned South Florida earlier coming to Birmingham last year and beating South Carolina 46-39. But in 1989, Spike Dykes, he brought Tech into Legion Field and beat Duke in the old All-American Bowl 49-21. Now, guys, that game was a long time ago, but is there any significance to that game for either one of you?
1989 All-American Bowl?
Yes.
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
What about you, Michael Weber?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
That was the last game for one Steve Spurrier as Duke's head coach. No surprise that when word leaked out at halftime that Spurrier was accepting the Florida job, I was actually on the Duke sideline when the scuttlebutt started happening among staff and players down there. I had a buddy. I was coaching in Virginia at that time. Had a buddy that was on staff. I was back home in Birmingham and was on the sideline when all that happened. It's so funny because that was back in the days, obviously, pre-Twitter and text and all that kind of stuff. And it was word of mouth around the sideline. It was something to experience. I'll just say that. All right, Michael Weber, before we go, tell the folks again how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, the best way to get us is online, www.webermortgage.com, or they can certainly pick up the phone and give us a call at 205-823-6701.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on Inside the Numbers.
The best in sports talk and analysis is at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Every week, Mike Menard and longtime college coach Boji Wood break down the biggest matchups in both college football and the NFL. GameDaySportsRadio.com features interviews with top coaches as well as current and former players. Get all the information you want in one place. GameDaySportsRadio.com. Previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games are just a click away at GameDaySportsRadio.com.
In Saturday NFL action, it gets started at 4:30 p.m. on the NFL Network. The Colts and the Ravens face off. Colts lost at home to Denver 25-13 about 10 days ago in a Thursday night game. Ravens beat the winless Browns 27-10 last Sunday. Baltimore now 8-6, just outside of the top 8 in the AFC. Looks like they need to win out, but they also need the Bills or the Titans to lose.
Yeah, the Ravens will be favored to win out. They play the Colts at home this week and then the Bengals at home in Week 17. Now, the Bills have to play the Pats and Dolphins on the road. Not likely that Buffalo's going to win out, so I think if Baltimore does win out, they'll get in the playoffs. The Colts, it's just a lost season. I mean, Andrew Luck never took a snap in 2017. The Colts struggled all year. They've lost five straight, and they're just hoping that Andrew Luck can come back healthy for next year.
Jacoby Brissett, he doesn't have bad numbers, but he's not Andrew Luck. Frank Gore, he's their number one running back. He's 34 years old. It's going to be interesting to see if the Colts draft a running back or make a trade, but there are a lot of good young ones out there. Saquon Barkley of Penn State, Bryce Love of Stanford, even Josh Adams of Notre Dame. You know, there are a lot of good choices in young running backs, but the Colts are going to need someone at running back that could come in and contribute immediately. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see if they draft, trade, or do both. The Ravens quarterback, Joe Flacco, he's thrown 12 or more interceptions each of the last five seasons. He really hasn't looked like a marquee quarterback since they won the Super Bowl back in 2012.
That's right, and I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of production from the run game. I mean, it's been a big problem. And let's not forget that Hall of Fame wide receiver Steve Smith retired, Anquan Boldin retired, so two key guys that he counted on in crunch time. The Colts have 11 losses, but they've been competitive in basically all but four of those.
Say what you want to about this Indianapolis squad, but these players, they haven't quit on Chuck Pagano. They're just outmatched each week. Again, Andrew Luck's been out all year. They've suffered other injuries. Their only wins were over the Browns, the Niners, and Houston, and that was after Deshaun Watson got injured.
Right, and, you know, they haven't quit. And I've noticed that, and all handicappers that pay attention to these games see that, because you don't want to have a team that's laying down. For instance, I mentioned the Bengals earlier. They're on the Bills' schedule, or on one of these teams' schedule. The Bengals, they look like they've checked out. So it's good that the Colts players are out there competing. These two teams, they haven't played each other since 2014. The Colts do have a big edge in the series. They've won 9 of the last 11 meetings. They've actually covered the Vegas total 9 of the last 10 meetings. But you do have to point out that either Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning, those guys were under center in all those games.
That's right. Moving on to the Saturday night NFL game, it's the Vikings and the Packers. Again, that game's on the NFL Network. The surprising Vikings, they had a great year thus far. Throttle Cincinnati 34-7 back in Week 15. Currently the number two seed behind Philly. Packers, they got Aaron Rodgers back last week, but, man, he had all kinds of rust, and it wasn't enough to pull the upset over Carolina. He looked rusty. There are no two ways about it. Saw that good Aaron Rodgers flash, had three touchdowns, but he also threw three picks.
Yeah, his timing was off in Charlotte last Sunday. And look, the guy hasn't played since mid-October. And a lot of us look at him as Superman at the quarterback position. And definitely you and I have alluded to kind of called Green Bay a one-man team, because they were. But even with Rodgers back, I don't think they're going to make it to the postseason. I think they have to win out, and then on top of that, they have to have three or four teams lose out. They're so far back. NFC South, very strong this year. They're going to have two or three teams in the playoffs.
Totally agree. The Panthers game was a must-win, and even with Aaron Rodgers, they just couldn't pull it off. And it's no surprise to me, Mike, that they went ahead and shut Rodgers down to prevent further injury to that collarbone, because, listen, there was no reason for him to keep playing. Smart move by the Packers to put him on IR.
That's right, and I would have done the same thing. And, look, they're a big underdog to Minnesota anyway, and their chances of postseason play very slim. They don't want to get him injured again, and it'll also give Brett Hundley more snaps. Minnesota quarterback, their opponent, Case Keenum, he continues to light it up, Coach. Bridgewater has been off the IR for a couple of weeks now. He's available, but Keenum won't give up that starting role. He was 20 of 23 with two touchdowns last week, and Bridgewater did come in for mop-up duty. He was rusty. He threw only two passes, and one was picked off. It looks like they're going to go with Keenum the rest of the way.
Oh, there's no reason not to. I mean, he's playing so well. I mean, maybe if his play goes south, you may make the change. But why would you make a change? I mean, you go with the hot hand right now, and Case Keenum is the hot hand.
Oh, no question. And look, he looks comfortable, like he was playing in a college back at Houston. So he looks like he's in his element. I think his teammates have confidence in him. When I take a look at this matchup, of course, this is a long storied series. The game is in Green Bay. Packers are 9-2-1 against the number the last 11 meetings at Lambeau Field. But this may be the best Viking team that's come in there in a decade. Vikings red hot against the point spread. They've covered 12 of their last 16 games, whether it's on the road or at home.
We'll get a chance to see how the Vikings do on the road in Lambeau on a cold Saturday night in Green Bay. We'll be right back. We'll take a look at a couple of Sunday NFL games on Inside the Numbers.
At Godis & Miller, a boutique law firm that represents individuals and families that have suffered severe injury or death in accident cases. If you or a loved one have been injured or killed in an accident, call Mike Gidgodis. I know Mike personally, and he's handled cases for me and my family for years. If you need a lawyer, do what I do. Call Mike on his personal cell at 205-913-2868. That's Gidgodis & Miller. Call Mike Gidgodis at 205-913-2868.
For 30-plus years, Premier Skyline has been a leader in the high-rise window cleaning industry. Professional window cleaning and restoration for high-rise office buildings, including hospitals, casinos, and major universities. Check them out at PremierSkyline.com. That's PremierSkyline.com for all of your high-rise window cleaning needs.
Picking college football winners every time isn't easy, but picking the right mortgage company is. Weber Mortgage has been helping people buy homes since 1999. Literally thousands of people are living in their dream homes with the help of Weber Mortgage. I'm Michael Weber, and using Weber Mortgage is a sure bet. If you're thinking about buying a home this year, call 205-823-6701 or visit us at webermortgage.com. That's 205-823-6701 for Weber Mortgage.
The best in sports talk and analysis is at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Every week, Mike Menard and longtime college coach Boji Wood break down the biggest matchups in both college football and the NFL. GameDaySportsRadio.com features interviews with top coaches, as well as current and former players. Get all the information you want in one place. GameDaySportsRadio.com. Previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games are just a click away at GameDaySportsRadio.com.
Welcome back into Inside the Numbers. Boji Wood still joined by Mike Menard from OTM Sports out in Las Vegas. We're going to take a look at a couple of NFL games on Sunday. First of all, the Falcons and the Saints. They go at it in New Orleans in an NFC South showdown. These two teams played back on December the 7th. Atlanta got the win in the Mercedes-Benz Dome up in Atlanta. Now they're set to do it again in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The Saints are tied with the Carolina Panthers for first place in the NFC South. Atlanta, they're battling for a wild card spot, but if things fall the right way for the Falcons, they could still win the NFC South. They did their part last Monday night by beating the Bucs on the road 24-21.
And, hey, Coach, look, it was a big win for Atlanta that Seattle lost as well. So, and you're right, Atlanta could still win the at least a share of the NFC South. Last year, it seemed like the NFC East was the dominant division in the NFC. This year, in my opinion, there's no question it's the NFC South. Panthers, Saints, Falcons playing great football. They're going to get either two or all three of those teams in the playoffs. The Saints last week went through the motions. They got a win over the Jets. They were a 16.5 point favorite over New York. They didn't cover, but that just goes to show you can't, no matter how good or how bad teams are in the NFL, you can't put the point spread that high. Running backs Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, they combined for 118 rushing yards and 122 receiving yards.
Yeah, that running back tandem, they're a big reason why the Saints are 10-2 after the 0-2 start. I think shipping Adrian Peterson off to the desert to Phoenix, I think that helped the chemistry in the locker room, and these two guys have performed. Drew Brees, I don't think he gets enough respect. I think he's one of the all-time greats at quarterback. Matt Ryan, he's having a subpar year in the stat book. But again, you've got two very good quarterbacks. Ryan threw three picks, looked like they were down and out in the fourth quarter, but he led the Falcons back to 10 unanswered points for the win.
Right, yeah, he kept his head in it. And look, they call him Matty Ice for a reason. He threw three picks. You could hear some spattering of boos. He kept his head on straight and brought him back to score the 10 unanswered. Ryan and the Falcons, they haven't fared that well in the Superdome. They're just 4-10 the last 14 trips to the Big Easy. Saints, they're a more complete team, and they're playing for a division title, and they're ahead of Atlanta. They also are playing for a first-round bye, but Atlanta, I think they need the win more. The Falcons went into the Superdome last year and got a win. This year, they have to slow down Brees and a run game that's much better than that 2016 Saints team.
You know how much importance I place on running the football, and no one in the NFL is more balanced this year than the Saints are. And by balance, I don't necessarily mean 50-50 in terms of passing yards and rushing yardage, but I mean being effective in both areas as to keep the defense guessing as to tendencies. I mean, if you've got if I've got you the offense in a down and distance where you pass 90% of the time, I'm in a nickel or dime package. I bring in great pass rushers and good cover guys, not really worried about the run. But if in that same down and distance situation, you're as inclined to run as you are to throw, I can't get as specialized with my substitution, and that makes me more vulnerable on defense.
Absolutely. And then there's only a handful of teams every year in the NFL that can be truly considered as balanced, and the Saints certainly are that this year. Taking a look at some numbers in this matchup. Last year, on their way to the Super Bowl, Atlanta, they were road warriors. This year, they're 4-2 straight up away from home, but only 2-4 against the number. The Saints, they've won and covered four straight home games versus NFC South opponents.
The key to this game will be Atlanta's ability to get a pass rush on Brees with their regular defensive package in the game. If they can't get that done, I think the Saints will exploit the Falcons when they try to situational substitute. Or if they try to play with their base package, I think the Saints will wear them down because the Falcons are going to have to play too vanilla on defense. The Cowboys at 8-6, they host the Seahawks also at 8-6 in a Sunday afternoon game. Seattle suffered its worst home loss in years last week when the Rams came in and beat them 42-7. Cowboys got a road win at Oakland. Looked as though they were going to lose it late, but Raider quarterback Derek Carr fumbled out of the end zone in the final seconds. And I don't care if it's high school, college, NFL, I can't stand this reaching out with the ball at the last moment. It's just too many bad things can happen there. And again, Dallas got a break.
That's right. And speaking of reaching out, happened to the Steelers in the Patriots game, and I know the letter of that rule, and it was applied properly, but still, it looks like a catch and a touchdown to me. But Dallas did get a break, but it was also a great play by the safety Heath to make up ground and cause that fumble. Seattle, coach, they look nothing like a playoff contender. I mean, Rams dominated them in every phase of the game. The Seahawks only had 149 total yards. And once again, Russell Wilson, he's running for his life every week. Last week, he was sacked seven times.
I don't know if I've ever seen a Seahawk offensive line that was this bad. They can't run block. They can't protect. It's hard to put a lot of blame on Russell Wilson because he didn't have time to think back there, much less go through progression. Dallas right now, they're currently in 10th place in the NFC playoff race. They need to win out, but they also need help to reach the top six and get a wild card spot.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to win out, and that still may not be enough. This win over Seattle would help because they're one of the teams in that race. Cowboys do get Zeke Elliott back off of suspension, and they might get a couple of key defenders back off the injury as well. I don't know if Dallas can overcome the hurdles. I don't think they make it to the postseason.
Yeah, when Dallas is good, they're really good. They put teams away. But when they're not playing well, you know, when they're playing their B or C game, they're going to lose because they can't beat those teams. They either have to be playing their very, very best or they're going to lose. That's basically the way the Cowboys are, especially with Ezekiel Elliott been out. As far as the Seahawks, listen, there is not one thing that I've seen from them that makes me believe that they can make a run and even have a chance to get to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, Coach, I agree. I haven't seen anything of them. And they've a glimpse here and there, but then it goes back to the offensive line imploding. You know, even if they went out, they need Atlanta to finish 9-7, talking about the Seahawks. Because remember, the Falcons beat them head-to-head. The Seahawks just 1-5 on the road against teams with records of 500 or better. So when they play a good team on the road, they don't do well. Seattle just 3-6-1 against the number their last 10 road games. Dallas, they're just 2-4 straight up. Their last 6 home games, and a couple of those, they got blown out. Both teams are laboring, so I'm going to have a lean to the under in this game.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Inside the Numbers. We'll come back. We'll take a look at Monday night's game, and that's the Raiders and the Eagles.
Get Godis & Miller, a boutique law firm that represents individuals and families that have suffered severe injury or death in accident cases. If you or a loved one have been injured or killed in an accident, call Mike Gedgotis. I know Mike personally, and he's handled cases for me and my family for years. If you need a lawyer, do what I do. Call Mike on his personal cell at 205-913-2868. That's Gedgotis & Miller. Call Mike Gedgotis at 205-913-2868.
For 30-plus years, Premier Skyline has been a leader in the high-rise window cleaning industry. Professional window cleaning and restoration for high-rise office buildings, including hospitals, casinos, and major universities. Check them out at PremierSkyline.com. That's PremierSkyline.com for all of your high-rise window cleaning needs.
Picking college football winners every time isn't easy, but picking the right mortgage company is. Weber Mortgage has been helping people buy homes since 1999. Literally thousands of people are living in their dream homes with the help of Weber Mortgage. I'm Michael Weber, and using Weber Mortgage is a sure bet. If you're thinking about buying a home this year, call 205-823-6701 or visit us at webermortgage.com. That's 205-823-6701 for Weber Mortgage.
The best in sports talk and analysis is at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Every week, Mike Menard and longtime college coach Boji Wood break down the biggest matchups in both college football and the NFL. GameDaySportsRadio.com features interviews with top coaches, as well as current and former players. Get all the information you want in one place, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games are just a click away at GameDaySportsRadio.com.
NFL Monday Night Football is the Raiders at 6-8 at the Eagles 12-2. Raiders coming in after losing a tough one versus Dallas, as we mentioned in the Seahawks Cowboys segment about Derek Carr reaching out, trying to get into the end zone after he's already picked up the first down. Fumbles out of the end zone. Raiders lose that game. Eagles, they held off a late rally by the Giants to notch their 12th win. Nick Foles, substituting for Carson Wentz, threw 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in the win.
Yeah, Foles is 16-9 as the Eagles starter, so he's been in pressure situations before. The Raiders, they won't be in the playoffs. Carr went down earlier in the year, and they just couldn't recover.
Oakland's lost 4 out of the last 5 games when Carr was either out or not at 100%. The Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey leads the team in receiving. He's a big target for Foles. The Eagles, they also have 2 big backs. They can grind it out when they have to. Listen, Doug Peterson, he's only in his second year, but he's got this Eagles team headed in the right direction. Won 7 games his first year. They've already got 12. They're in the playoffs, and who knows how far they can go this year.
I think they're certainly better with Wentz at quarterback, but Foles and that defense is really good. So they might, that defense might can take them to the NFC Championship game. The series, the Eagles and Raiders, they don't play very often, Coach. Only 10 meetings since 1980. In 1981, The Raiders beat Philly 27-10 in the Super Bowl. Raiders have only covered two of their last 12 games, so they're underperforming in Vegas. And the Eagles, they're great against the Vegas number. They've covered 13 of their last 17 games.
You're listening to Inside the Numbers with Boji Wood. Catch a replay of this show at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Hear interviews with coaches as well as current and former players, plus previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games. It's all at GameDaySportsRadio.com. That's GameDaySportsRadio.com.
Welcome back. Inside the Numbers with Boji Wood, joined by Mike Bernard from OTM Sports. Mike, in Phoenix, the Cactus Bowl kicks off, and it's Bill Snyder's Wildcats and the UCLA Bruins. Kansas State 7-5, UCLA 6-6. Bruins fired Jim Mora, hired Chip Kelly, but in this game, Jed Fish will serve as the interim head coach.
That's right, Coach. And this game played the day after Christmas, and Fish was also the interim coach in the Bruins season finale. They beat Cal to get to six wins. Bill Snyder, 78 years old. No secret, my opinion of the guy. He's one of the most underrated coaches in college football history. K-State was a doormat in college football, maybe the doormat. When he took over in 1989, they had a winning percentage of 37% when he took over. He built that program. They won two Big 12 titles and 18 bowl games.
They were the doormat of college football. There was no question about it. And if you remember, he retired once back in 2005. They brought Ron Prince in, and K-State went back into the cellar. Listen, Bill Snyder, he's got the formula. He came back in 2009, and they haven't had a losing season since his return. And now those Cats, they are in a bowl game for the eighth straight season. UCLA Josh Rosen, he's one of the top rated quarterbacks in the nation. He's had some injuries, but he's still in the top 12 nationally in passing yards. There's no doubt in my mind this kid's going to be drafted early, and he's going to go and he's going to develop. He's going to have a good NFL career if he can put some meat on his bones. He's very, very thin.
Right, he does need to gain some strength and weight. He can play. I think he'll make it in the NFL. He's not the problem. There's 130 1A or FBS college football programs. The Bruins defense, they rank 129 in rush yards allowed. They get gashed on the ground. They give up 283 rushing yards a game. That's why they have six losses, and that's why Mora was fired.
No excuse for a Jim Mora defense to get gashed in a run game like that. And you look back at these two teams, they met back in the 2015 Alamo Bowl. UCLA won 40-35, but then Mora refused to shake hands with Coach Snyder because he thought K-State was being too physical when UCLA was just running out the clock. But guess what? Bill Snyder's still around. Mora, he's gone.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Maybe if Mora would still have a job if his players weren't so soft against the run.
Yeah, and Chip Kelly, there's one thing about Chip Kelly. He's going to bring in a new innovative offense, but I tell you, they're going to get better on defense too. I have no doubt that they will. Let's move on to the Texas Bowl, and that is Missouri 7-5 and Texas 6-6. These are former Big 12 foes, but now, of course, Mizzou is in the Southeastern Conference, and Texas is still in the Big 12. Listen, Missouri, 1-5 start. Everybody was talking, including me, was talking about Barry Odom's going to get fired. He's not going to last. They're not going to give him a chance. Well, he turned it around. He's got him in a bowl game. Texas is 6-6 in Tom Herman's first year. And both these teams, I think they'll be motivated because this is the first time either team has played in a bowl game in about three seasons.
That's right. Longhorns' last bowl appearance was 2014. They lost to Arkansas 31-7 in this same Texas Bowl. Missouri last bowl game was a trip to Orlando in 2014. They beat Minnesota 33-17 in the Citrus Bowl. And also that year, Missouri was actually in the SEC title game. Tigers, look, Missouri, they looked finished. You mentioned that 1-5 start. Their first win, Coach, over a 1A team was not until October 21st.
Listen, no one saw a six-game winning streak coming from Missouri. As I said, many people thought that Barry Odom was in over his head. He, after the Auburn game, he went on in front of the camera. He made an impassioned plea, said, look, we're going to win. I know what it takes to win here, because he's been a player. He's been an administrator, an assistant coach, a coordinator, and now head coach. He knows what it takes to win at Missouri. And he has shown in the second half of the season that his kids didn't quit on him. They bought into him. And one thing that didn't hurt Missouri this year is that Drew Locke in the second half of the season, he got into rhythm and he set the SEC touchdown record for a season. He threw for 43 of those puppies this year. Texas, you know, they don't really seem all that excited about breaking their bowl drought. Safety Deshaun Elliott and offensive tackle Williams said have already said they'll skip this game and they'll prepare for the NFL draft. You know, that's a trend that's happening right now, and really, I don't like it.
I know you don't, Coach, and a lot of other college football fans and former coaches and players and people in general don't like it. And the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Malik Jefferson for Texas, he hasn't decided if he's going to play in the game. These players opting out of bowl games seems to be happening more each year. Last year, McCaffrey didn't play in Stanford's bowl game.
And Leonard Fournette, he skipped LSU's bowl game last year. And in McCaffrey's and Fournette's defense, they were injured during the year, and they missed games late in the season due to injuries. Some of these guys have not missed a game. They haven't missed a snap during the regular season. They just don't want to take a risk of getting injured and hurting their draft prospect. And again, that's happening all over the nation right now. And as I said earlier, it's becoming a trend, and I just don't like it.
Well, Coach, look, I don't want to be hypocritical here, because as a fan, I'd like to see all the players compete and appreciate the bowl game, like the, when we watch bowls as young kids. But I have to be honest, if a family member or close friend in that situation asks my advice, depending on the position that they play, I might agree with opting out. If they're concerned about getting injured and don't want to play, look, the fact that if they go out there and play scared, it will lend to injuries, and they won't be helping their team if they're out there playing scared.
That's true, but I guess the thing with me is this has never been an issue until just the last couple of years, and I can't remember the young man's name from Ohio State, but he blew out his knee in the bowl game in the Fiesta Bowl, and it ended up costing him some draft spots, but he did get drafted. He did take a year to rehab, and now he's playing in the NFL. And again, I think if you just look at you know, not getting injured, if that's the reason that you're not going to play in the bowl game, again, I totally understand if you've been fighting an injury and you need to lay out for more time. But if you're perfectly healthy, I think that you're just creating a bad precedent by not playing. And again, you've put in so much. A bowl game should be a reward, and it used to be, but now it's not, because there's so many bowl games, and it doesn't matter. And unless your team is playing in the playoffs, a lot of these guys will opt out and not play.
Right. It kind of goes back to the handicapping motivational factor that I talk about, and it's the same thing with these guys. Look, if here's my thought. If I'm on a team and a guy is scared to play, and fear of getting injured, I don't want him to play. Let the next guy up step up. You know, that's how I see it.
Right. And again, I think it's one of those it's just a situation that's unfortunate. Again, the game that I used to coach is changed, it's evolved. I'm not in it anymore. So, yeah, I'm not part of it. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and look, when I handicapped this game, two things stand out. Those key Texas players, they don't want to be there. And a lot of other ones don't want to be there. Tom Herman, he's reluctant to name a starting quarterback. That's kind of negative. I give the motivational edge to Missouri. They're attempting to become only the second team in college football history to start a season 1-5 and finish with 8 wins. I think Rutgers did it before. So I'm going to lean to Missouri in this game.
It's a Pac-12 Big 12 showdown in the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. David Shaw's Stanford team won the Pac-12 North. They're 9-4. Gary Patterson's Horned Frogs, they fell to Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. They're 10-3. These teams last faced off in 2008. TCU won that game 31-14.
Yeah, they did, and this game kicks off on December 28th, 9 o'clock on ESPN. That game you mentioned, that was Jim Harbaugh's first year. He's now in Michigan. Patterson's still at TCU. It's hard to believe he's in his 17th year. TCU was in the Alamo Bowl 2 years ago. The Frogs were down 31-0 at halftime. They came back and put that game in overtime and beat Oregon 47-41 in three OTs.
I remember turning that game off because it was so out of hand, and all of a sudden I look at the score and I'm trying to flip back over there and get back in just in time for overtime. That game was tied for one of the biggest comebacks in bowl history. I don't think we're likely to see 87 points on the scoreboard in this one. TCU, considered by most to be the best defense in the Big 12, only allowed 17 points per game, and Stanford gave up 21 a game this season. Cardinal running back Bryce Love finished second in the Heisman voting despite having to play injured much of the year. Love led Power 5 running backs with just a tad under 2,000 yards rushing.
Look, that kid's as solid and as tough as they come. So many times I saw him go to the sideline, he would get that ankle taped and retaped and come right back in the next play. TCU, they have a dynamic player under center, Kenny Hill. He's inconsistent, but he still accounted for 25 touchdowns. And the Frogs' offense averaged 33 points a game. The biggest difference I see from 2016 to this year is the TCU defense is back to stopping the run and making teams one-dimensional. Frogs are eighth in the country in rush D.
Yes, it's going to be strength on strength, that Cardinal run game versus the TCU run D. TCU had five players named first team Big 12 on the defense. And those five Big 12 all-conference defensive players, they're going to get a chance to see Bryce Love pretty healthy because he's had nearly 4 weeks to heal up, should be closer to full speed.
Yeah, and if he's healthy, he could also be a factor in the return game. When I look back to TCU's recent bowl history, their last nine bowl games, all of them were competitive. Eight of their last nine bowl games were decided by 7 points or fewer. A couple of trends to note, Stanford's covered six of their last eight bowl games. TCU's only covered two of their last eight bowl games.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back and take a look at the Cotton Bowl, USC and Ohio State.
Don't want no cloudy morning. Won't you hear what I say? There won't be no tomorrow if you're not with me today.
Get Godis and Miller, a boutique law firm that represents individuals and families that have suffered severe injury or death in accident cases. If you or a loved one have been injured or killed in an accident, call Mike Gedgotis. I know Mike personally, and he's handled cases for me and my family for years. If you need a lawyer, do what I do. Call Mike on his personal cell at 205-913-2868. That's Gedgotis and Miller. Call Mike Gedgotis at 205-913-2868.
For 30-plus years, Premier Skyline has been a leader in the high-rise window cleaning industry. Professional window cleaning and restoration for high-rise office buildings, including hospitals, casinos, and major universities. Check them out at PremierSkyline.com. That's PremierSkyline.com for all of your high-rise window cleaning needs.
Picking college football winners every time isn't easy, but picking the right mortgage company is. Weber Mortgage has been helping people buy homes since 1999. Literally thousands of people are living in their dream homes with the help of Weber Mortgage. I'm Michael Weber, and using Weber Mortgage is a sure bet. If you're thinking about buying a home this year, call 205-823-6701 or visit us at webermortgage.com. That's 205-823-6701 for Weber Mortgage.
The best in sports talk and analysis is at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Every week, Mike Menard and longtime college coach Boji Wood break down the biggest matchups in both college football and the NFL. GameDaySportsRadio.com features interviews with top coaches, as well as current and former players. Get all the information you want in one place, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games are just a click away at GameDaySportsRadio.com.
Welcome back into Inside the Numbers. Boji Wood, still joined by Mike Menard from OTM Sports. Mike, this coming Friday, The Cotton Bowl is being played at 8:30. It's Eastern 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 Central, their local time in Dallas. I think this has the makings of being one of the best bowl games all year. USC, Ohio State, champions of the Pac-12, coming in to square off with the champions of the Big Ten. Southern Cal, Ohio State, both have 11-2 records. It's the 24th matchup between these two schools. Now, seven of those were in the Rose Bowl. USC has beaten Ohio State seven straight times, but their last meeting was all the way back in 2009.
Right, and, you know, they haven't played in the Rose Bowl in a long time. I've had the figure in front of me. I don't have it now. But two of the most iconic names in all of college football, iconic programs. Bucks are favored by more than a touchdown at most casinos. And, look, I've talked about it almost each week. We preview a Ohio State game. The betting public loves the Buckeyes, not just in this game, but the public likes them because they blow out teams. Of their 11 wins, 8 were by 30 points or more. USC, turnovers and stopping the run, that's been their problem. Trojans were -4 in turnover margin and losses to Washington State in that blowout loss to Notre Dame. And plus, the Irish ran for 377 yards on the ground. And they beat SC 49-14 that day.
And don't forget now, turnovers have also been an issue for the Buckeyes. In the turnover battle, they only won 5 of their last 13 games. The Bucks were -4 in turnovers in that Iowa loss. And quarterback JT Barrett, he's a dual threat player, but he's been up and down. He's got a tendency to have some turnovers. Same with USC quarterback Sam Darnold. He's tossed 26 touchdown passes. He's probably going to be one of the top two quarterbacks selected in the draft this year, but he's been picked off 12 times. In order to win this football game, it's going to be the quarterback that protects the ball the best.
And, Coach, I don't know how you see it, but to me, when I look at Barrett and Darnold, they both look like they've lost their confidence. When Barrett threw 4 picks at Iowa, his confidence took a huge hit. Darnold, and look, he may go on to be a great NFL player one day, but right now, I don't see it. He has the measurables, but I don't see that it factor, so to speak.
He's still young, and it's the raw talent that these guys are looking at. Same thing with Josh Rosen. These two guys, they're gonna be good NFL quarterbacks. And I'm not saying that they're going to come in and have a rookie year like Dak Prescott had a couple of years ago, but I'm just saying these guys, they have all the talent that it takes to succeed at the NFL. Now, Darnold not only has a cannon for an arm, he's got talented weapons at running back and wide receiver, and sometimes they can really make him look good by taking a short pass and going the difference. Former Southern Cal quarterbacks Mark Sanchez, Matt Leinart, and Matt Barkley went on to play in the NFL, but none of them were top-tier quarterbacks. And even though Darnold's stats, they don't stand up to the numbers those guys put up, I just really think that he's got all it takes to succeed at the next level. Urban Meyer was asked if his player was disappointed not to make the college football playoff. He said they're probably devastated. He better have a good game plan for a very good USC team and find a way to get his player motivated and to focus on USC.
Yeah, and Coach, I'm always leery of these type situations in the bowl season. The Sharps in Vegas, hey, they believe that Urban Meyer is going to have his team ready. Bucks are favored to win this game. And let's not forget, USC, they're Pac-12 champs, and they were also left out. I think both teams are going to be excited to play once they get into Cowboys Stadium. But the question is, which team is more prepared? Did these teams prepare for this game with the same focus as they would if they were playing in a playoff game? Because both teams are certainly capable of playing with any of the four teams that are in the playoffs. I think the motivational factor in this game is probably a wash.
And that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Inside the Numbers. I'm Boji Wood saying so long and reminding you we'll be back next week to take a look at more bowl games, NFL games, and of course have an in-depth preview of both the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, the semifinal games for the national championship. So until next week, stay safe and hope you and yours have a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful holiday season.
You're listening to Inside the Numbers with Boji Wood. Catch a replay of this show at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Hear interviews with coaches as well as current and former players, plus previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games. It's all at GameDaySportsRadio.com. That's GameDaySportsRadio.com.